Did they foresee or hope for the future? For your future?
Yes.
That things would be different?
Yeah, and to give you, my mother has four children, only one daughter. My mother saved money from, come in! Yeah, she's at that age. That age. Okay, my mother, probably made $25 a week in that month. But out of that $25 a week, my mother saved some of that money so that she wanted to make sure that her daughter had a formal education so that when times got better, I would be able to have a good paying job. I wouldn't ever be anybody's maid. Because she said she wanted better for her daughter than what she had. And my mother, the first year that I went to school, didn't know anything except to go to class, didn't have to worry about where the money was going to come from, because my mother had saved that money. And it was not until my senior year that I had to borrow just a little money to graduate from college. I was my mother's first child to graduate from college. And my brother right under me, he's 48. He's a year younger than I am. He graduated from family.
And he's a civil engineer?
He's a civil engineer and he lives in Tucson, Arizona.
I get so involved now. It's not, my questions don't even matter. So now, with your experience, I guess to kind of answer that, though, some of these are just like kind of flowing. So you really didn't. I mean, you were integrated. I mean, you were in the integration process, but you chose not to. Did your mother and father fear for your brother at all?
Oh yes.
When he left to go to STEM school.
Oh yes, we all did. He came home one day. There had been a fight at the high school. Came home one day, and we lived not that far from the school. We could easily walk, not as far as you walk from the office over here to see me. That's how close we lived to the White High School when I was a child. He came running home, blood just running down his face where he had gotten, somebody had hit him, something had happened at the high school, and it almost convinced my father that his child didn't need to be up there in that. But my brother said, Daddy, I made this decision, and I have to stick it out no matter what. And he did. Now, it wasn't the first time he came home where somebody had called in names or somebody had said something. And the five black children that were there, they were kind of isolated because the other children didn't have anything to do with it.
I saw an interview on Oprah Winfrey the other day with the Little Rock 7. And they were talking about how they were reunited with children that had spit at them and thrown things at them and the apologies and how they would share their books and how one little white girl pulled her desk next to a black man and created scandal throughout the entire school. And then she was subject to
political and
everybody else. When did you said that you had played with the mother's boss's children. Now, when did that stop? I mean, did that continue on? We were saying in class that usually around 11 or 12 at that time, children, black and white children, were separated.
Because somewhere in there, by that time, when we got to be that age, children started noticing that there was a major difference, and that major difference was the color of our skin. And once your eyes came open, and you had heard the word nigger, and sometimes it was said to you, and the little child didn't even know what the word meant. He didn't realize that it was a negative word. He was just repeating what he had heard somewhere else, maybe even at home. And once the word was said, you could never play together again.
That was it.
That was it.
Um, Did, the church, now you said your father was a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did they play any role in preparing you for integration, or
no.
What was going on in the entire movement?
No. We had a very conservative little church that wanted us to stay status quo, leave things alone, don't stir up any trouble, because you're causing a major problem. And I truly believe that if the teenagers in Lafayette had not stirred up a little trouble, that the adults in Lafayette would have never gotten involved in what was going on.
Was the town separated? I mean, was there like one side of town was white, one side was black?
We did have a railroad, yes. It was a little section here, a little section there, and a little section here. In the little section of town that I lived in, there was no railroad track. In most little southern towns, there's a railroad track that separates the blacks from the whites.
Right.
But in the section of town in which we lived in, from here back to the wall, everybody was black, okay? And it was kind of like we lived on the edge of this white neighborhood, because there was the white high school, there was the white gym, and they've always had a gym for the white children in Lafayette. I don't even remember them building it. It was just always there, okay? And on the other side, the only thing that really separated us was a road.
It's just sort of that unspoken language.
Unspoken language that you didn't. The children, as we were younger children, the children would come out in the road, we'd all skate together, ride our bicycles, and at night, we all went home. We never crossed the road, they never came over, and we never went over. We just always went in the road.
Sort of the common ground.
Yeah, it was that common ground. And, you know, it's funny now that I think about it. Why didn't any of us ever go across the road? But we never did it. We just played in the road, and we all would go home.
That's amazing. I wonder if it was the white parents, perhaps, maybe said don't cross over, if it was some sort of unspoken rule that you just, maybe it was just not knowing, not understanding.
Maybe so.
Now, when did you leave Lafayette?
I left Lafayette in 1967 and went off to school. Went to Montgomery. Went to a predominantly black school. Never saw any white children. Never, never. I think in my senior year, 1 and 2 was there because it was cheaper to go to Alabama State. And it's still cheaper to go to Alabama State than it is to go to Auburn or to the University of Alabama.
Right.
And there were 1 and 2 white veterans there.
Now, when you got there, were there any civil rights movements, like, because I know the Selma, the March in Selma.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that? Or it going on?
I remember it going on. I didn't participate in it, but I remember it going on. Just like I remember there were, something happened in Montgomery. It may have been that when I was in school, because we all know. No, yeah, but something happened in Montgomery, something happened on campus. We had a ride on campus when I was in school. And we had a ride because we wanted better food in the lunchroom, in the cafeteria. We were paying, our parents, we thought, was paying all this money for this food. And something else had happened. And I don't remember what else it was. We took, they closed the school for a couple of days, sent us all home, and then we took our demonstration from the campus to downtown Montgomery, and I don't remember why. I need to talk to somebody that was at State when I was there to find out what all went on, but I remember they closed the school because there had been major fights in the lunchroom, had destroyed major property. in the lunchroom over the food that was being served to us. I don't know why.
Well, how about the March of Selma? Do you remember the church bomb in Birmingham? Mm-hmm. That was, what, 68? 67, 68?
I remember that.
Do you remember that? Yes.
Yep. And I also remember, and I felt so bad, and I asked my mother this. You remember, maybe you're not old enough to remember this, when they first started integrating the city of Birmingham, and they turned the water hoses and the dogs on those demonstrators. And I asked my mother, and I went back a couple of months ago, we were talking about it. As a child, I asked my mother, what they were doing, was it so bad that they had to be treated like that? All they wanted to do was just sit down at the lunch counter and be treated like anyone else and to be able to work downtown Montgomery. Now, LaFayette didn't have a major problem like that because they only had Rogers Cafe. And it's the only place, I think, in LaFayette that you can still now eat is Rogers Cafe. And if you wanted to get any, and the people that cooked in Rogers Cafe were blacks. So now if a black person wanted something to eat at Rogers, they had to go around to the back door to get it. They couldn't go
inside.
No.
They had to walk off with their food?
Uh-huh. They had to walk off with it. You couldn't sit down and eat it. No. And there was a big sign that said, Phillips line at the back door. You can never go in and sit down and eat. Okay? And at the doctor's office, I remember Dr. Fiema used to do before he died, was the doctor in Lafayette. It didn't have but one. There was a separate little area that blacks had to go around to the side door to go in. The waiting room there. The one with blacks in the waiting room. And on the other side, up to the front, was the waiting room just for whites. And I don't remember there being a water fountain for us to drink. You didn't drink while you waited for the doctor to see you now. But it was the same doctor.
The water fountains, they actually literally had signs.
Yes, they actually had real signs that said that. Uh-huh. I remember those signs quite well that said that. And the signs made it so visible that you were inferior because you couldn't drink out of the same water fountain as that little white person did. You couldn't go in the same door now.
You couldn't even use
the
same door.
No,
so it was a white doctor.
Yes.
But it's nothing about you had to go to a black doctor. You would be
a black doctor.
You just couldn't wait in the same room.
You just couldn't wait in the same room and you saw the white patients first.
So you might have to wait.
You waited a long time to see Dr. Wheeler. But you did eventually get to see Dr. Wheeler. And he was the same man that had seen the one patient, but he was the only doctor in Lafayette. Mm-hmm, but I don't have to rush and go.
Because I have to know, I want to ask you about Martin Luther King.
Okay.
Do you remember everybody, and I'm sure everybody in the United States, but everybody remembers where they were the day John F. Kennedy was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ask, I don't guess, most, I guess you could some, but I don't think you could probably ask a white person and say, do you remember where you were the day Martin Luther King was assassinated? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
What was going on that day? I mean, I have complete ignorance right now.
Well, that's all right. The day that he was assassinated, the moment that it flashed on the television, I was at home, making up the bed, had the television on, and I heard over the news that Dr. King had been shot, and they thought he might possibly be dead.
I mean, what happens at that point? Do you think this is it? War is coming? Or?
Yes, I did. I truly believed that there was going to be a huge racial war in the United States because there would not be anyone that would be able to convince blacks not to retaliate